Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that Thou hast given us an invitation to come unto Thee. It's more than we would ever have dreamed of doing. Thou art high and holy and lifted up, and we in ourselves are not, and more than that, we cannot even trust ourselves to be faithful to such light as we have. So we come before Thee very humbly, because Thou hast asked us to come, and Thou hast given us to understand that salvation is from Thee and not from us. So we pray Thee, Father, to glorify Thyself in showing us the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ and saving us in Him and through Him. For His name's sake we ask it. Amen. Today our study in the Gospel according to Matthew will be in the latter part of chapter 21, verses 33 to 46. And the major portion of this message comes to us in the form of a parable. And because the parable teaches something so very important and profound, I'm going to read the parable, and as I read, we'll make a comment or two as I go along, while we try to see what the Lord is saying. He has just been talking about the fact that, so far as God is concerned, God takes note of the response of people to the gospel. And if anyone is not willing to repent, they can have no part with Him. But now let us see as we read in verse 33, chapter 21, verse 33. The Lord says, "Hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a wine press in it and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and went into a far country." In general, this is a picture of Almighty God revealing certain truth to the children of Israel, whom He made as His own vineyard. And He gave them certain truth that they might prosper thereby to the benefit of the whole world. And He left it with them to do with. That's this expression, "He went into a far country." Doesn't mean that God forsook His people, but it means that He put this opportunity for service in their hands that they should, as it were, manage it and run it. And when the time of the fruit drew near, the time when you could expect that there would be consequences and returns from what had been done, He sent His servants to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandmen took His servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. And of course, for the Jews who were listening, they could very clearly remember how prophets and apostles that had been sent, but especially what we call prophets, had been sent to Israel in their history, and how they had suffered rejection from the people. And verse 36, "And again He sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all He sent unto them His son, saying, They will reverence My son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him, and cast him out of the vineyard, and slew him. When the Lord therefore of the vineyard cometh, what will He do unto those wicked husbandmen? They say unto Him, He will miserably destroy those wicked men, and will let out His vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render Him the fruits in their seasons. Jesus saith unto them, Did you never read in the Scriptures, The stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say I unto you, The kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof." This is an amazing story. This is a straight-out message from the Lord, straight to people who have been blessed of God. It was a blessing to have the Word of God. It was a blessing to be shown the truth of God. The children of Israel had all this. And when the time came that God wanted to go on with what He was doing with them, there should be some response because of the truth they had been shown. and he was going on to lead them into yet more truth than what they had had, they turned it down. And the language here is very simple. They had destroyed prophets one after another, and when finally sent his own son, they rejected him. Then you will remember that the Lord raised the question, what will he do unto those wicked husbandmen, unto those husbandmen? And the people listening to the story caught the point. He will miserably destroy those wicked husbandmen and will let out, that's the old English way of saying he will rent, his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits in their seasons. And I think that for all of us, while there is a very definitely, here obviously, a message to the children of Israel, especially to the Jews, that message comes to us. Perhaps we ought to read the last three verses of the chapter so we can have the whole message in mind. After he had told them that these wicked men would be destroyed and reminded them of the scripture that the stone which the builders had rejected had become the head of the corner, therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. Whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard this parable, they perceived that he spoke of them. They could understand it, that he had them in mind. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude because they took him for a prophet. Now, when we're looking into this passage, you and I might do very well, whenever we see the word Pharisee used, and whenever we think about the Jewish people, you and I might do very well to think of contemporary Christian people. Because, you see, so far as you and I are concerned, many of us have been brought up in the church. We actually are in the Christian group because our parents brought us there. And we actually have about the same relationship to the Lord that the children of Israel had to the Lord. Their parents dedicated them to God, and then they were supposed to belong to him. And he would deal with them as he would with his people. And they halfway belonged, and halfway they went their own way. That's just very much the way in which it is with many of us. And the Lord God takes note of the fact that we have had the opportunity of the gospel, and he expects some response from that. And he will approach us expecting that with the gospel in our hands, we will respond to his call. When we don't, he deals with us. As you look in this parable and the teaching that follows it, you see several distinct things. Generally, the truth is this. The Lord will reject those who reject him. And I might say to you, it doesn't matter if they are scribes and Pharisees, and it doesn't matter if they are chief priests and elders. It doesn't matter if they're in the outward, open, human, visible group of people who say they belong to the Lord. It's a matter of the heart, and God looks on the heart. And those people who reject him will be the ones that he will reject. And then he puts out something like this. The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. You might be surprised at that. Why would the builders reject any stone? I don't know. Why do church leaders reject anybody preaching a simple gospel? I don't know. Why does any church leader, why do church leaders as a whole become uneasy if somebody says they think the church needs to be revived, needs a revival? Or if they were to say, someone was to get up and say, I think we ought to have a special prayer meeting. Why should anybody object to that? Why should anybody object to the idea that being a Christian is to have personal dealings with the Lord, so that the Lord himself will be in that individual person, and he'll have personal dealings with the Lord in himself, actually having fellowship with him there? Why should that seem so strange to people? And why should people reject the idea that it is appropriate in the sight of God for a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ to walk with him and to talk with him? I don't know why they should do so, but they do. And the stone which the builders reject, the people who are the leaders, the people who are the planners, the same has become the head of the corner. Now, in that connection, in verse 43, he warns a whole group of people and says to them, "The kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof," which is a way of saying and warning anybody. You may have had an opportunity of knowing the gospel. Your parents perhaps were believers and took you to church. You had an open Bible in your home. Perhaps there was Bible reading. Perhaps there was prayer. And you belong to a church wherein the gospel is preached. Now, if you do not respond to the gospel and do not personally receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior, God isn't dead. He's not just a tree or a stump that's standing still. God is a living God. And the nation that will not be doing the will of God, that is to say, the kingdom of God, shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. By the way, this word nation does not refer to a political unit. You ought to keep that in mind right away. It means a group of people. And the idea is that the kingdom of God will be taken away from a group of people who had the opportunity and will be given to another group of people who will actually yield and respond and bring forth fruits. That's the general idea. Now, when it says, "Whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder," think of the stone in terms of the Lord Jesus Christ. The person falling on the Lord Jesus Christ is the person coming to the Lord Jesus Christ whose heart is broken, broken with a sense of his own sin. "Whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken." You come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be brokenhearted because of your sin. "But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder." Suppose I do not open my heart to the Lord. Suppose I turn my back on him, and he has to deal with me. He'll deal with me in judgment and will grind me to powder. And again, this will indicate to you the significance of Jesus Christ. Our God and Heavenly Father, help us to yield ourselves to him. We thank thee for everything thou hast ever done in showing us the gospel. We thank thee for the churches, the Bible class teachers, for the opportunity to read and to study and to know these things. But our Father, we pray that thou wilt make us to be willing and obedient, that thou wilt help us to deny ourselves and to judge ourselves, to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might in him find everlasting life. Amen.